people that they're real excited about this. And so starting next week, we're got to finish that. I have no idea. I keep saying I'm going to finish in one day. That's not going to be possible. Not with me. I can't. And so next week, hopefully we get through like two pieces of armor, the breastplate of righteousness and the sandals of the gospel of peace. And so hopefully we get through that next week and then the following week. And then starting in several weeks, I want to start a new series. I think I just have this sense that we'll get into the gospels and the life of Christ a little bit. That's something I haven't done much of. We went through the Sermon on the Mount years ago, but other than that, we haven't really spent a lot of time in the Gospels, and so I think we'll start that in 3 weeks, maybe, hopefully, if I can stay on the ball. And so I want to just kind of put that out there. My hope this morning was, we're not going to have a regular sermon, but my hope is that we just, it's not a relaxed breath, catch your breath. But as a church, there's something really important. The part that you play is really important. I actually want to take some time and thank everyone in this church personally for everything that people do behind the scenes. You children's workers, I preach almost every week, and I am not in the kids' class, and I feel sometimes like I'm like ignoring it, and I'm not. I love our children's program. Just love. If your child is in that program, they will get through the Bible, guaranteed, if they start early enough. I think it's a 2-year program through the Bible. I love our curriculum. I love the way we do it. We believe in the efficacy of the Word of God, meaning it has its own power through the Spirit to move people, to empower people to do what God has for them. And I believe that. And so I'm real excited. Thank you. I know it's not always fun. If you're not cut out for children's ministry and that you're on that schedule, I do hear complaints sometimes, shocking. But just thank you for everyone that works in there. Thank you for the people, by the way, that make the coffee. Thank you for the snacks, all those things, everything you do here. I really want to just appreciate that so much. I don't get a chance to do as much of that. All right, move on. I'm rambling. All right, so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have a friend of mine share a testimony, and I want to kind of set this up a little bit. In Matthew 9 and in Luke 10, Jesus is ready to send out his disciples. He's going to send them out without him. He gave them authority and power to preach, to cast out demons and heal and all this stuff, and he's going to send them out to preach the gospel. And he kind of starts the thing out, and he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And then he says, pray. He told his disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers. And years ago, that struck me, and I started taking that very seriously. If you come here for any length of time, you'll understand my focus is on making disciples. Promised myself I wouldn't say anything I'd regret, but I'm not into politics. I'm not into social stuff. I'm into making disciples of people. People's souls are what's important. That is, the eternity is what's important. And so that's my goal. That's my aim. And I have prayed for the Lord to send workers. And if you're here at this church and you belong here, you might be an answer to that prayer of sending workers. And so one such worker kind of came into my life by surprise. We're going to kind of do this as like a fireside chat. Harold, you can come on up if you want. This is Harold Tweedy. And I know a lot of you do not know him. And we're going to do this kind of as an interview style, by the way. Harold, you can pick a chair. And I just want to kind of set this up a little bit. The guys that, something that you might not know is, one of the things that happens from this church is that on Wednesday nights, there's a group of men that, there's a group of men that go down to, on West Broad, down the bottoms of West Broad. And we do this every Wednesday night. You're welcome to come. It's not a closed deal. And we meet here at 6 o'clock. Even though this whole evening there's like no schedule to this evening. If you're rigid on schedule, you'll be super frustrated, by the way. And And we go down to the Bottoms. We have there's a storefront down there, a mission down there that we get to use on Wednesday nights. And we have a Bible study, and a really serious Bible study, by the way. And there's anywhere from 20 to 30 people. We probably have about 10 or so from this church that meet here regularly. Is that about right? 10 maybe that go. And then there's about 5 or so from other churches that come regularly, and the rest are guys that come off the streets. We take some food and snacks, and they come off the streets, and they come in maybe to eat, and then they get sucked into the Bible study or something. And it's just, it is so much fun, and it is so rewarding to watch somebody who is desperate in life. And there's a desperation that I love from people with their hearts down there that, I, to be honest, I don't find in our town. And I hate saying things like that. But there are people that come in down. There was a guy one night that came in there and sat way off in the corner like he wasn't worthy to be in the circle and just sobbed like I haven't heard, you know, in a long time, desperate, talking about tying his bicycle to his feet, riding his bike off a bridge, and he just thought maybe the Lord had something for him here. So he came back to our meeting, and he did, but I don't know what happened to him since. I haven't seen him since. That was about a month ago. And there's really cool things that happen there. The Bible study's really serious. And I'm saying all this to say this. There, one of the things that amazed me down there is how many guys come off the streets and even living on the streets, and they know so much Scripture. They know their Bibles. Like, I was just shocked. And even, I'm going to pick on you, Pete, a little bit. Pete came in, and in February, Pete was in a little bit of a hard place. Came in, but he knew a lot of Scripture. He knew a lot of Bible doctrine, and it was, I thought, really good. I was like, how are these guys getting this? And here is how. And so I started figuring out, Harold is he's a guy that sits at home and studies the Word daily and reads and studies daily and knows so much Scripture. And for years and years, I think, and he'll be able to tell us this, he was discipling people every single night in a place called Amazing Grace. It's a church down there on West Broad. And so every night they have sessions, and Harold's a teacher. And I just say this. Matthew 7, Jesus said, "You will know a false prophet by their fruit," or "You'll know a tree by its fruit." And that word fruit, you can interpret that different ways. But one of the ways is when you see the effect of somebody's teaching in other people, that's fruit. And I remember being really impressed with Harold just by seeing some of the guys come in and the things they knew and understood, and the way it worked in their lives. And so I asked Harold to sit here, and Harold is, he told me he's a minute man. He doesn't need any preparation, that's true. And so I thought I would kind of run this kind of as a kind of an interview style. And so Harold is going to just kind of share his life story a little bit with us, and I'll prompt him a little bit, maybe interrupt occasionally, but not often. Before we do this, pray with me. Lord, I thank you so much. We thank you again for your Son on the cross. Thank you that you have paid an ultimate sacrifice that we would be free. Lord, we were dead in transgressions and sins, and you made us alive through Christ. And so we thank you. Praise you. I pray that nobody leaves this room without understanding your incredible love demonstrated through the cross. I pray that, Lord, we as believers would be so moved, compelled by your love demonstrated through the cross, that we would, Lord, love each other, that we would speak words of encouragement to each other, that we would love those that you love, that we would just be compelled, Lord, to go out of these walls and minister to people, anybody, Lord, that you bring in our path, that people would know the gospel. Lord, in this world, people are marching for every cause under the earth, but this is the one that men need to know. And so just use this time, Lord, this morning to inspire us. Pray that your Holy Spirit would just have free reign to just work in us, to release the things that entangle us in our lives, and just focus on the privilege it is to work in your kingdom. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It was great. I'm going to set new records for a dismissal. But actually, I can't let people go that easy. I do want to throw a scripture. Thank you so much, Harold. I appreciate that. I actually have only heard little bits and pieces of that, and so it was good to hear. I want to send you out with a scripture, and so I'm not going to do much talking, but I want to kind of go through Hebrews 10, 12. I talked about this before years ago when I was probably 16 or 17, an old guy from our church. He was old then. He's still alive. He's just a dear saint, a teacher at a Bible college, stood up in front of our church, and he wanted to teach us something from the lettuce patch. And then he went into these lettuce statements, and I remember rolling my eyes sitting back here like, how dorky is that? And I have talked from the lettuce patch several times since then, so I probably owe him an apology. So we're going to read this before we leave, and I want to just kind of point out some of the things. Won't do much talking, but kind of as a challenge and an inspiration as we leave here. He covers a whole wide range of things. Therefore, brothers and sisters, and of course, this is after nine and a half chapters of explaining how Jesus is the great high priest. He is our high priest in terms of offering a sacrifice once, whereas the other priests offered many. He offered one and then sat down at the right hand of the Father. He is our perfect high priest in terms of sacrifice and perfect high priest in that he is right now at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And so after all of this, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, because they couldn't have done that before, the most holy place in the temple, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, he sets us up. Since Christ is all this, since he died on the cross, put a perfect sacrifice, my sins are imputed to him. His righteousness is imputed to me. We get to run free and be completely guilt-free, shame-free because of Christ. And we get to draw near to God. This is an amazing thing. And it's not over. It keeps going because Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Since all this is true, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. A sincere heart. A heart that is sincere. It's true. It is seeking after the Lord. He has put that in there, a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed in pure water. All this is kind of a reflection of what the priests used to do to offer sacrifices at the temple. And now all this, we have all this through Christ, and we are saved from sin, from a guilty conscience. And he goes on, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This is exactly what Harold was saying. His word is true. He cannot lie. You can take it to the bank. Let us hold unswervingly. And this is a message for the church today, not just ours, across. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, the hope of eternal life, the hope for us. That's the patience, the perseverance that Harold was talking about. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Perfecter, that's actually the same root word, at least if not the same word, that Jesus cried out on the cross. It is finished. He has finished it. It is completed. He has perfected the way of salvation. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's an amazing statement. Of all people, and I've said this before, of all people who knows what's on the other side of eternity, Jesus Christ knows that. And it says here, for the joy set before him. So he sees something out there that is so joyful and so grand that he endured the cross for that. That's an amazing statement. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How do we persevere? How do we keep that hope and patience? We consider Christ. And so I'm going to close, but I just want to say this is the focus of our gospel, is the person, the work of Jesus Christ. And so fix your eyes on him, not on a program, not on a church strategy, not on a person, but fix your eyes on him. It is in him that we will persevere. Thank you again, church, for everything you do. And I invite you back next week. We're going to, you know, just we kind of get into the fall setting, and this is always kind of that turning point. So I just want to thank you for being here this morning. I ask you to stand up. I'm going to pray us out of here. Father, I praise you. I thank you again for your work of salvation. I thank you that even when Adam and Eve sinned, Lord, you weren't caught off guard. You had a plan. You knew it in your foreknowledge, and you had a plan. And the plan, Lord, when you look at it with objective eyes, it just seems so amazing. It's almost scandalous. It's what kind of a God would give up so much?